Hello there, this is Sharbel Al-Shahar, the founder of LilHayat.com. In response to the organ transplantation and organ donation conference happened in Rome from November the 6th to November the 8th, under the title A Gift of Life, sponsored by the Pontifical Academy for Life, LilHayat.com had an interview with Dr. Shea. Dr. John Shea is a retired physician. He lives in Toronto. He is a past president of the Toronto Catholic Doctors Guild and past president of the Canadian chapter of the Fellowship of Catholic Scholars. He is a medical advisor to Campaign Life Coalition and LilHayat.com and a member of the Canadian Catholic Bioethics Institute. He is a board member of the Canadian Catholic Civil Rights League and of the Catholic Central Union of America. He contributes articles on bioethics to Catholic Insight, the Social Justice Review, the Interim, and the National Catholic Bioethics Quarterly. And here is Dr. Shea.
Dr. Shea, I went through a lot of information on brain dead. I want to share something for you very important. From my perspective, as a technician, I am an electronic technician. When we receive, a computer here, we can discover the CPU is gone. And then we can tell the customer it's not economical to repair. And the customer said, okay, scrap it. You know, it can be disposed or, you know.
Yeah.
And then we could lie to the customer and just tell you that, you know, that we could cheat the customer, tell him the CPU is gone, but actually the CPU is not gone. But we could steal part out of the computer before we swipe part. We can, you know, put from another computer that need to be repaired, and then make the other computer revive and work. And at the same time, tell the customer, we lie to him. We tell him the CPU is gone. Because I'm trying to put the CPU as a brain dead criteria, as the brain of a human being. Or the heart, you know, whatever you want to use that organ, that criteria. Yes, yes. Is that true?
No, brain death is a fabricated term. It originated in 1968 at the Harvard Committee, ad hoc committee on Harvard about brain death. They said that when a person has a certain nervous system condition where there is allegedly loss of irreparable loss of a function of the entire brain, that person is not actually dead, will be dead in probably 48 hours, but for the purposes of organ transplants can be regarded to be dead.
Mm-hmm.
So they did not say it was dead even in the beginning. But immediately, all the medical profession and the bioethicists in the world, with all few exceptions, accepted that, and they're right ahead for the last 40 years, taking vital organs out of patients who had been deemed to be brain dead. Now, it may be, it's not a valid criterion of real death, but the doctors have accepted it. It may be that the recent the doctors at then were not in bad conscience because they had no conscience problem about that. They thought, well, it's as good as dead, we might as well, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's being thought of as being truly dead, and that, of course, is accepted in Catholic hospitals all over the world, never mind the non-Catholic hospitals. But it's not true. It may be, it's a lie if they're saying it and they know it's not true. And it's just a falsehood if they're saying it and they don't know it's not true. People have been recorded, and quite recently, many have been recorded as recovering from brain death. So that we all know that if your body gets stiff and starts to corrupt, nobody has ever come back from that state. But they're coming back from this state. And people who can come back to consciousness and life, consciousness from this state, are not dead to start with. It's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you heard of Walter Smith. He said in some of the states they even legalize the use of medical term brain dead.
Oh, yes, that's true. And the other thing that's interesting is that the criteria that the doctors use to call a person brain dead are different in England than in America, and they're different in the different European states, and they're different in and the doctors don't are not always expert at neurology, and they don't somewhat you can be by one set of diagnostic criteria can be called brain dead, and by another one you would not be called brain dead. So there's no real intellectual agreement about the definition of the term brain dead. It can't be true either in theoretical terms, and it certainly isn't true in practice. Mm-hmm. It's a word game.
Okay, so we still can, it's not fully recognized by the international medical community.
Well, even if it were, that wouldn't make it true. The question of life and death, the international community can't tell me that a person comes back from being dead, has been dead for 3 months and gives birth to a baby. And that has happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
But the Holy Father, he said that in the last statement, science in recent years has said, just repeating what the Holy Father said, science in recent years has said has been further progress in the determination of the death of a patient. And the question of determination of death, the Pope cautioned there must not be the slightest suspicion of arbitrariness, where certainly cannot be achieved. The principle of precaution must prevail. What's he trying to say here, Dr. Shea?
Before him, Pope John Paul said that in the year 2000, and I emphasize this, it seems that the criteria for brain death fulfill the necessary, are consistent with true anthropology. In other words, it seems that it's true that somebody has brain dead, they're actually dead. He only said it seems that. But he then said, well, you must be certain that a person is dead before you take their organs out. Likewise, then 5 years later, shortly before he died, he said, we better revisit this and think some more about the brain death. And Pope Benedict is really just repeating what Brother John Paul said. He said, oh, there's been a lot of progress in trying to determine when a person is dead. But the fact that there's been progress, they have not reached the end of the road yet. They have not reached the actual knowledge of when a person is brain dead. And I think, personally, they probably never will read it. Now, the other thing is this. People forget this. When a person is conceived, comes to be, an individual comes to be, it takes place in a fraction of a second when the membrane of the sperm and the ovum touch each other. You immediately have a new entity, neither sperm nor ovum, but a human being in the one cell stage. Okay. Likewise, death occurs in a moment. It's not a process. You're either alive or you're dead. You can't be half dead. And so the Pope said that this is why it's so necessary to know not just the person is dying, but is dead. And so one scientist said, we all know when a person is alive, and we know when a person is dead. There's a fuzzy area in between when we can't tell. And the fact of the matter is that if a person is, the heart has stopped, and the person is dead, if the person is dead for 5 minutes, it is too late to use organs. So it is necessary to know exactly moment of death is you're going to use 5 minutes after death to take organs. But they don't know the exact moment of death. I don't think it can, because the soul just leaves the body and there's no soulometers around.
Also, the Holy Father, I highlighted that, the organ trafficking. And, this could be translated as warning the medical community not to abuse the issue of organ donation, and there is an illicit one.
It has two meanings. One is that to what the Chinese do. They shoot a guy in the back of the head and then take his organs. Or the other thing they do, by the way, is they people buy them to make these plastinized bodies. You know those bodies they show? Bodies. Now, so and also selling organs for profit and that kind of thing is disrespect to the dead body. So, and all those counts, that's wrong. But the main reason it's wrong is because they shouldn't be taking them, brain dead people. They shouldn't be taking, of course, the Chinese shoot them, but the brain dead people, the so called brain dead people, they also should not have their organs taken, never mind bought and sold. So it's got many meanings. All these sentences, when you analyze them, mean cover many things.
So Benedict linked the issue of organ transplant to that embryo research, saying the mere idea of...
Oh, yes, because it's disrespectful of a human being. Mm-hmm. That's why. But there's the other thing that's interesting is that there's a connection here too, because the people who want to do embryo research deny that it's an embryo or a human being or a person for various and sundry reasons. One is they say, well, it's not an embryo, it's a collection of stem cells, or it's a fertilized ovum, and it's not an embryo until it's implanted, which is, you know, 6 to 8 days after the actual conception. Or they say it's an embryo, but it's not. It's a human being, and an embryo, but it's not a person. And then they say, well, you're not a person until you have cognitive ability and sentience, or in other words, you can think and so forth. And so that puts it back further. The fact of the matter is that once you become a human member of the human species, you're already a person because your soul is given to you at the moment of conception. That's called the Immaculate Conception, was a dogma of the Church. Meaning that Our Lady's soul was free of sin at conception. So the soul had to be there, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the other people are taking organs. They're arguing that you're not a person once your cognitive ability is gone, just like the embryo is being argued to be not a person, unless it reaches its ability to think, etc., or at least has developed a primitive nervous system. So there's a tie-in between the two. They're both boondoggles, they're both BS, but the thing is that this has been accepted pretty well by the medical profession as a whole. This is an atheistic world. That's why all this is going on. And, of course, follow the money is the other thing. That's the other reason why it's going on. And the Church is not keeping up with the fast pace of technological and scientific change. They're not just keeping up. They're out of breath. And they need the breath of the Holy Spirit to catch up.
But do you think that the Holy Father gave guidance to the conference that happened in Rome on organ donation and transplantation?
I think he did, but they're not accepting it. But they, you know, that's common. Look at the way people act about contraception. Look at the way Catholics even act about abortion. They know that the Church is teaching. The only thing is that he didn't actually directly mention brain death and cardiac death, but he mentioned death. And he did give the criterion, and he said, you've got to be certain, you've got to be, the scientists of the world have to agree with you, and a lot of people, scientists and doctors and bioethicists in the world who are not Catholic, totally disagree with this. In fact, the August 14th edition of the New England Journal has 5 articles on the subject. So there is no consensus of scientists. And in point of fact, the organs have been taken for their use and for the money they can make for purely pragmatic utilitarian reasons. And the people know that. So the decision to take organs is, as the Pope says, arbitrary. It's not based on fact. It's based on a theory or a story that they tell. And they say, you dead now, you dead. We're taking your organs.
Do you think that the issue of organ donation would be a change after this? How do you see that the future is going? We don't know that future, but do you expect that will be legislation, and government would look push further more.
Oh yes, I think the government's quite likely to push for not mandatory organ donation once the patient has reached what the doctors say is irreparable brain damage. That's inevitable to come.
Well, you see, it is coming. Then we would be forced to donate or without our consent.
Dr. Wally at the MatterCare convention, which was a very impoverished little thing, Hillary tells me, compared with the lavish hundreds and hundreds of highly fed and suited up people on the convention on brain death and organ donation. He was quoted today as saying that unless something is done, and the Pope and bishops and priests have to really be involved in that as well as the lay people, you're not going to have any Catholic doctors or nurses, because between assisted euthanasia, assisted suicide, abortion, contraception, and now this organ donation, fewer and fewer Catholics will want to be involved. And he said that. What are you going to do when there's none of us there? He said that to the bishops. Or he said that to Hillary White after the MatterCare convention in Rome. So yes, yeah, I think that organ donation will become mandatory.
Well, I was reading the Walter Smith's book on when they exposed the issue of organ donation in England. People went panic, and the issue of organ donation, people were reluctant. They were afraid, and the organ donation received a blow. You know, the organ donation become shaky. They were afraid that the people won't donate anymore because they heard of stealing organ from patient without their consent, and that's the issue. When you expose that,
people start out by being afraid, and then eventually they come around. The donors for sperm, for instance, now the lawyers are, the people who have been conceived artificially are coming and saying they want who their father was. And, of course, his name was never mentioned. And now that's becoming a problem because the governments are thinking of making it mandatory that the person who is conceived that way be told who their parents were. And also because the diseases or genetic problems of the father may be visited on the son or the daughter. So times are changing. These newfangled notions that the medical profession is putting out do affect the law eventually.
Well, Dr. Say, I want to ask you a medical thing. Maybe, what is the side effect of organ if people receive an organ donation? They're dying or not? Is there be a future side effect of organ donation? Like people, do you think is there any health risk issue?
Yes, the main organ donation complication is total rejection because it's not matched properly. That the proteins that the recipient's body rejects. The other one is that they can stave off rejection by giving them drugs. This is where the pharmaceutical companies come in, and they make all sorts of money on keeping these people alive for the rest of their life, having to take rejection drugs. Anti-rejection drugs depress the immune system of the person, so they become more prone, particularly to infections and even some malignancies. So it's not a hell of a right way to go. In other words, it's not a cure. It's a kind of a temporary thing, and the length of time they live is probably not all that great. And secondly, they're prone to other diseases.
Mm-hmm. But we know that the organ donation, that eventually these people would die anyway. That's why.
Well, yes, but the thing is, they'll probably die. In my opinion, they'll probably die sooner or later. But they're not probably going to live as long as they would have as if they were well. Mm-hmm. So it's only a question of staving off death a bit, and also running a chance of further illnesses.
Mm-hmm. No, well, thanks a lot, Dr. Shea. I really appreciate your comment on this because I've been, a lot of confusion on this issue because I wasn't very well educated on the issue.
We're better educated than most. I'm glad you find it helpful.
Okay, thanks a lot, Dr. Shea.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.